It's now time for Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International. Of course, my name is AKA Money Run. I'll be in your company for the next half hour as we discuss some amazing young people doing big things all across St. Lucia. My guest this afternoon is none other than the man, Coyote James. Now, I always pronounce your name wrong because so I just want to make sure that I get it right. Did I get it right this time?
No.
Oh my God. Help me out here.
Coyote or Kayo.
Okay, Coyote. Okay, so Coyote, yeah. James, thank you so much for agreeing to talk with me. I mean, we have had, I think technically this will be your halftime. I wouldn't want to say your second time, but maybe your one and a half time on Youth Unplugged. We previously had you on as part of the Boost St. Lucia initiative. But we will discuss that a little bit in the interview because it is all part of the process of your journey. But tell us a little bit more about yourself. Let's start off with your background. What high school, secondary school, primary school that you went to?
Primary school, infant school, Anglican primary, and secondary was Leon Hess Secondary School. Graduated from there, went on to Sir Arthur Lewis, where I did business administration in DTEMS, and that was my education background. Yeah. From there, during secondary and the tertiary level, I was always, finding new ways to, not new ways, but always exploring ways to make money and stuff like that. And when I got to Rice Krispies, selling Airheads and, different other snacks and everything like that, when I was satisfied with that hustle, I graduated on to register my very first business, which was social media marketing and, graphic design, television and radio ad development and stuff like that. I had a little bit of background in these things. From that, we did a few, companies because we were more working with the social, like the small businesses, mm-hmm. especially because that was the time when Facebook and Instagram was making a platform for businesses, which was the business pages and stuff like that. A lot of businesses weren't aware of it and how to utilize it, so we would come on board to assist them with that and maintenance, creation of those accounts, those various accounts and stuff like that, and just to help them do strategic marketing where necessary for their products or services. And that was 2012 to 2014. 2014, I went overseas, stayed there for a while to help my sister with her business and did some other jobs, a laborer, construction, babysitting, anything that would make some change, shovel snow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I was doing that, and trust me, it wasn't easier. Sometimes I got paid shoveling snow for 75 cents, $10, anything to just keep my mind focused, And then came back home 2015, and it was in May. By June, my father's words to me was that if I don't get a job in the next 6 months, then I'm back out, And I had priorities, and I always felt after that experience in the States, it was a great experience, found myself a bit more. I figured to myself, no better place than home. And, it would be a better place to make myself here than abroad, So I figured, okay, let me get to it. Started looking for jobs. And I got my first job in October of 2015. I worked at Colombian Emeralds. Well, I started out as a sale. I was supposed to start out as a runner, where you give out like tastings and stuff like that, sample alcohols and stuff like that for Duty Free Caribbean. But the store manager for Point Seraphine, she realized that, I had potential to be a sales associate. So she took me in for an interview. And in 2 weeks, I started out as a sales associate. I did that from October to February of 2016. And whilst doing that, I was also assisting the sales manager in doing her reports, you know, so like taking out photos and reporting how the week was and the traffic like and everything like that, you know. So just through my work ethic and everything like that, she recommended me when the opportunity came to the office for a new position. She recommended me. They had an interview with me, and then I just, you know, they gave me the job after that. So I started working as the permanent administrative assistant for Cullman Emeralds Duty Free Caribbean Holdings from 2016 to 2017. So that's you know, softcore situation of my background.
that was a softcore at all. That was a lot of information to process. Definitely a lot of information to process. Pretty cool, and it's amazing that how you've never let yourself, you never kept yourself depressed about your circumstance, and you always made the best of every opportunity. But like back in high school, or should I say the tertiary education, when you were at DTEMPS, I think you said, what were your plans? I think that a lot of people say they discover themselves at DTEMPS or A-level. What career path did you think that your life would have taken?
Well, if we could take it back, like probably from five, my secondary school life wasn't the best, you know. It was, well, that was because of me, you know, troublesome, misbehaving, delinquent, you know. I was, if you had to bet on me, you wouldn't bet on me based upon my performance, you know. But towards the end of it, Form 5, I figured I always had an end goal in mind. My goal on Form 5 was, okay, I need to go to DTEMPS, I need to go to SOAFA. And my only reason for that was that's where you could make a lot of money, you know, and like no rules. Well, the rules are not as strict as secondary school. So that was my only focus. And I said, like, what do I need to go there? I need good CXCs. And from then I just get myself, read every textbook for my respected subjects, did my SBAs, you know, and by God's grace, I got there. And when I got there, my whole intention was, okay, career-wise, I was always thinking, okay, I want to work at customs. You know, as a customs officer.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then it was between that and working at the bank. But then along the way, I was, like, whilst I was at SOAFA, I started, right out the door, like, even coming into the SOAFA, I was already selling, like, headphones and memory cards for BlackBerry and stuff like that. So, you know, I used that profit, reinvested it into PS3 games, did that, took the profit, reinvested it into Rice Krispies Airheads. And, you know, probably 3 months down the line, I had like probably like 10 boxes stacked up in my room about Rice Krispies. And then I figured, like, okay, I could sell one box a day. One box has 40. So if I could sell one box before 12 o'clock, that means I could sell two boxes in a day. So by the end of the week, I'll be going to the bank, with about 400 and change in profit, you know. And that account, I told my father to help me open it up, and we started that account with $25. And when I realized I was accumulating that amount of money at such a young age, I was like, what's the purpose of me working at the bank again, you know? The tellers got familiar with me, the supervisor got familiar with me, that every time I walked in, she would greet me, you know, had a nickname for me and everything like that. And at a point, I don't want to make it seem any type of way, but the thought came to mind, why would I want to be counting anybody else's money, you know? I prefer counting my own, you know? So the idea of working at the bank left. So the only other option was a customs officer, and then working at the bank left. So the only other option was a customs officer, and then I think it was just a process to get in. The reason I wanted to do it was because my father worked at, well, he's a broker, and I always was intrigued of how they do their thing and everything like that. You know, working at the port, after hours, cargoes and everything like that. So I think it was just the process of having to just get in that deterred me. So I was like, okay, that's probably not it for me. So I just really focused. It wasn't too long after that. I just continued focusing on selling my Rice Krispies, my Airheads, and everything like that. And then after that, I figured that, where do I see myself in this long term? Then it was a day my father was talking to me. He said, well, you could probably make a deal with Mega Jail, these wholesale places, to have it in bulk quantity at a better discounted rate, you know, and sell it. And in my mind at that time, reality kicked in. I said, I don't see myself selling that forever for me to go to make that kind of, you know, deal. You know, that kind of situation will have me feeling like stagnant. So at that point, I just decided to transition. The next best thing for me was capitalizing on social media platforms and the fact that I'm aware of it and how it's, you know, captivating to users and engagers, and how, you know, small micro enterprises can get on board and can utilize it, you know.
No, I mean, when you said the year that you started that, I mean, that was fairly new. So what challenges were you faced with in convincing companies that, hey, you need to get your business online? How was that?
To be honest, I couldn't think of it much as a challenge at the point in time, because it was more of, I felt the challenge as an excitement. You know, just doing what is not of a norm at my age again, because I was 2013, you know, social media was there, but it was, like I said, it was just creating that platform. And I was, here I am supposed to be at school, but instead I'm at school, I'm here writing them contracts, putting certain friends of mine in positions to tell them, okay, I'm going to do this, and we all of us going to eat off of this, you know. And then I would be probably negotiating with business owners as to why they need these things. So basically, I was taking the principles, which I did not clearly understood or not too clearly understood in school, putting it on paper and presenting it as proposals to small micro businesses. And it worked out well in some cases. I would say 80% of them worked out well, you know. We made significant breakthroughs. Like, for example, I collaborated with Kidel Sony back then to create an ad for Lindsay's Jewelry. That's where it featured I think his name was, I can't remember his name, to be honest. I don't want to mistake it. But it was, the scenery was, he was by the waterfront. He was scratching his head. He was trying to find more money for himself because things was hard and everything like that. And then he remembered he had a little sack of, jewelry and everything with that. And from there, he went to Lindsay's Jewelry, got cash for his unused and unwanted jewelry and everything. And that interview was like basically one of the best things we did, because not just that, the owner really loved it. Like, feedback from his employees were that every time the interview, the ad came on, he would tell everybody in the office to, you know, quiet down and everything like that. And then Andrew on the radio station, Andre Paul, they were talking about it, and they said that it resonates with the current times we're in, because, you know, a lot of persons are going through some form of hardship or tough time, and that kind of ad, it signifies with them, you know. So along with that and other small businesses like Chef Robbie, at the time they had Cellular Fix, these companies actually entrusted me to do their day-to-day marketing for them, not just on the social media aspect, but, you know, doing stuff like strategically placing their ads and stuff like that, their physical ad brochures and stuff like that in places where, you know, people would be interested in it and stuff like that. So, and I took that knowledge and put it back into school. So
that's pretty amazing. And how old were you then?
18.
Wow, that must have been really cool for you. And you know, you're making a pretty decent change, still going to school and balancing it. One of the things that we like to discuss with entrepreneurs is their ability to balance school or personal life and work. How were you able to do that?
Very poor. Very poor.
you know, that's the realest answer I've ever gotten. Very poor. Wow. Let's talk about it. Why you say that?
Because, how can I put it? Already my attention was on, I'm understanding what I'm supposed to be, what I'm learning, if you get where I'm coming from. I'm understanding what I'm learning in the classes out there. You know, on a day-to-day basis, like a SWOT analyst and stuff like that, benchmarking and stuff like that, which got me more excited for those particular classes, which weren't many, like the marketing classes, business organization, you know, law and these kind of things. Those were probably like the five classes, well, amongst others, yeah, like five classes I was excited to go to. The others, that I could say was a challenge for me, you know, and it's like different languages at that point in time. So I had that, and you know, at that time you're young, you have friends, you have, you know, groups and stuff like that. You gravitate to whatever group you could relate to and everything like that. So I had that was taking up my time as well voluntarily. Mm-hmm. So you know, school wasn't getting much of my attention, and honestly, if it wasn't for my parents instilling me that whatever you start, you have to finish, I don't think I would make it out alive with my degree, because the time frame for it was 2012 to 2014. And I found myself struggling with a few subjects, you know, a few being an understatement. And yeah, that I had to actually finish one or two courses after my two-year term, to a point where I had to even hide it to my very first employer that I was actually finishing my last course for me to actually get my associate's degree, you know. So yeah, that was basically my situation with SRAF and everything like that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And we still have a lot to talk about. I just got to remind everyone that Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International is brought to you today for kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need. Now, Coyote, like, mm-hmm. moving forward, we're now in 2021. You have your own business, and also and the same business that you've presented onto the Boost St. Lucia initiative. But before we talk about the Boost aspect, tell us a little bit about the business and how you got introduced into 3D printing.
Okay, so we're talking about like 95% of my life right now, yeah, which is real 3D printing, also known as R3D printing. Like I told somebody recently, I think I know it more than I know myself at this point. Real 3D printing is a local additive manufacturing company, which specializes, well, which first of all utilizes specialized skills such as 3D modeling technicians and also 3D technology and other machinery to fabricate goods and products, such as under these four main categories: merchandise, replacement parts, custom parts, and prototypes. Underneath merchandise, you'll get keychains, cookie cutters, cake toppers, stamps, whatever accessory or marketing material or promo, anything you could think of that could enhance the aesthetic appeal of your environment or event or household or business, that would fall underneath merchandise. For replacement parts, it basically says it all. You're missing a bumper, well, a part of a bumper or a car fixture, whether it be marine, outdoor, home appliance, anything like that. Sometimes it's a plastic part or some form of part that's chipped, broken, worn out. We could most likely repair it from scratch, meaning design the entire thing as brand new and prototype it, print it to make sure that it, you know, fits exactly and it does the job that it's intended to do. Custom parts, we give designers pro-consumers and other persons that just want to be creative and have ideas. And it's usually just stuck as an idea in their mind, especially when it's a physical object. We give them that opportunity now to express it and take it to the next level, where they now could come in and tell us, well, I have this idea, or have a sketch on actual design and tell us, I want this as an object, you know. So now we have the capability of making that a physical object for them. The intention of the business actually is to build the first actual manufacturing company here in St. Lucia that could actually facilitate and aid the industries in the economy, such as medical, dental, automotive, the creative arts, and, you know, mostly any other industry in the economy, as well as average consumers and pro consumers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically us in a nutshell.
That was more than a nutshell, bro. That was a whole tree. Yeah.
That's a whole tree. It's true.
And, but one of the things I know that we have this notion, and correct me if I'm wrong, that 3D printing is an expensive investment. Is that so?
Yeah. There's no secret about it, but at the same time, the investment to get in it, it's pretty steep. And not just that, it's not a one-time investment. Mm. You know, it's reoccurring. It continues. I don't think it ever stops, because we're still paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not just financially, but the knowledge behind understanding what we're doing, because fundamentally, you think it's just, I want this, you print it, and there you go. But you also have a lot of things to take into consideration, like, what is it intended for? What's the final use? Is it going to undergo certain stress? You know, so all these things we have to take into consideration before we could basically come up with a solution, a perfect solution, or the right solution for your situation, because we look at ourselves as problem solvers, and innovators.
Now, specifically when it comes on to the printing of parts, I'm really interested in that, because, you know, that's not necessarily what you would think somebody would 3D print for. I know I'll expect the key rings and, you know, the promotional items, that makes a lot of sense. But for replacement parts of household items, tell me a little bit more about that.
Okay, let's put it in a simulation, right? You're home right now, Ronnie, and let's say you're home. You're making a smoothie for yourself using your brand new NutriBullet or something like that, of that sort, right? You put down your bananas, you put down all your fruits, everything, and even a mango or two. But in doing so, you mistakenly weren't aware that you put a mango seed in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Boom, you go ahead, because you're watching sports, Max. So, yeah, you want your shake, you want to watch your game at the same time. Boom, you blend in, and all of a sudden, you just hear a funny grinding sound that's not normal to you. You know, so you like, wait, what? What's going on? And you stop it, you open it up, and you realize the seed is there. You know, you shock. But with a little hope, you're thinking that to yourself that, maybe that ain't nothing. Let me just take out the seed and continue blending. Boom, you take out the seed, you cover it back, you continue blending, and now you realize nothing not blending. You just see the fruit stagnant inside there. Now you take it out, you clean it out, and you're analyzing it again, trying it a third time, just with nothing in it. Now you've seen for sure the blade not spinning, but you're hearing the gas going from the base, right? You look at it, you open it up, and you realize what? The base gas, it was eroded because of the tense friction between the cup and the base gas, right? What do you do at that point?
You buy a new blender? No.
Oh yeah, you would. You would. That's what you would basically be doing if we weren't around. But then, lucky for you, you know real 3D is around, so you just out of query or question, or you just scrolling for social media, you see our latest promotion of a similar situation, And you say, hey, hey, God, is that you talking? You know, so you message us. And then you say, that just happened to me. You know, something similar to that has happened to my planner. Can you do something for me? We say, you know, in within 2 minutes, a rep responds to your message. We ask for your contact number. We give you a call. We had a situation. And then we ask for some we ask you to provide some photos. We compare it to our list of what we can do. And then when we realize it's a similar situation, we tell you bring in the blender. And then probably let's say in 2 weeks or less, we'd provide you your blender back and a new adapter cover for it. No. And you know what that does?
Tell me.
That goes on top of the gears, and now you could blend your smoothie again, providing that you be more mindful that you take out the seeds of the mango time. When you're doing it the next time. So that's now just saved you from going and buy a whole new blender all over again.
Okay.
That's our replacement parts and aspect of it for you.
Now, one of the things that I like to ask people is, like, what has been some of your most, fruitful projects that you've done, or projects that really stand out and make you think that, yeah, man, this is a good decision to do this?
Boy, that happening every day. I just mentioned one there for you. But yeah, that's what's really amazing with our field of work. Every time we think we have it, there's something else better, you know? So like I recently came up with, you know, we create to innovate, you know, so there's no limits. There's nothing that says this is it for us. If we come to that conclusion, then we're selling ourselves short of looking out for the next best thing.
Mm-hmm.
You understand where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But to give you a little background of our tenure, from 2018, we collaborated with Just for Fun Carnival. We produced, and that was our early stages there. We produced 1,520 keychains for the Carnival band. That same year in December, we didn't do not one but two watershed illustrations. Well, three, two for the one for two different companies, the forestry department and another development agency in Shoza. So we developed watersheds for them. So that's where we fused traditional building with 3D printing. We printed the models, the houses, the trees, and we had somebody come in and, you know, create the contour using plastering, plaster of Paris, paint it down, you know, and have water running and everything through it and everything like that. That was a wow moment for us. 2019, we collaborated with Chamber of Commerce to assist us with our pilot project, which was the educational part of the company, to facilitate the Corn Secondary School with a 3D printer to facilitate their STEM programs and their science clubs, which they've been using up to a day like today. And 2020 was one of the biggest ones for us. We actually, not by choice, but just by, you know, again, always looking out for the next best thing, we were advised by a few doctors that face shields is what we should be doing during the pandemic. So between April to August of last year, we prototyped, produced, and improved approximately almost 1,000 face shields for the private sector as well as the public sector, and also assisted Tapio Hospital surgeons with ventilator adapters for the surgeon mask, so that way they could have some extra form of protection when breathing during surgery, so it will filter out any bacteria, especially if that bacteria has corona particles in it. And the final thing for last year was we did ventilator adapters for the respiratory clinic Yeah, that's basically been it for us.
Now, that's pretty amazing. I'm someone who follows technology pretty a lot, and yeah. I see the direction now is almost into 3D housing, where now people are literally printing their housing. Is that something that you look forward to doing sometime in the near future?
Hopefully, so long as it's feasible. We're always looking to explore new grounds, but I'm thinking hopefully, so long as it is attainable, I think that would be the I guess, I won't say the end, but the pinnacle for real 3D printing at that point, because it is something worth exploring,
Yeah, indeed, especially now in the Caribbean, because, it's pretty...
Exactly.
It's not as affordable to build a house as one would think, so if we could find an affordable way to do housing. I mean, talking about housing, I just got to remind everyone to check out Bank of St. Lucia right now. Amazing land specials going on right now, and check them out right now. But I got to thank you so much for taking this time out to talk to me. So much information. We didn't even get to touch on... the Boost Initiative because we're all out of time, but that's okay. But what I wanted to do is give people the opportunity now to follow your pages on social media and give out your contact number.
Much appreciated. So you could follow us at Facebook and Instagram is r.3dprinting_758. Our WhatsApp and mobile number is 519-8070 and email address is real3dprint@gmail.com. That's real3dprint@gmail.com. All small letters.
Definitely.
So any questions or queries, you could check us out.
Amazing. Yeah, man. Amazing. Thank you so much for taking this time out to speak to us. And of course, this is Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International, brought to you with the kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia. All the bank you need.